ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जयाद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद। श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Antya Leela, Chapter 6, Text 309. Ananta Guna Raghunather Ke Karibe Lekha. অনন্ত গুণ রঘুনাথে কে করিবে লেখা রঘুনাথে নিয়ম যেন পাষণে রেখা রঘুনাথে নিয়ম যেন পাষণের রেখা অনন্ত গুণ রঘুনাথে কে করিবে লেখা রঘুনাথে নিয়ম যেন ভাষণের রেখা Who could list the unlimited transcendental attributes of Raghunath Das? His strict regulative principles were exactly like lines on a stone. Purport. The words Pashane Rekha are very significant. Raghunath Das Goswami followed the regulative principles so strictly and rigidly that they were compared to the lines on a stone. As such lines cannot be erased at any time, so the regulative principles observed by Sri Raghunath Das Goswami could not be changed under any circumstances. Raghunath Das's regulative principles are compared to a line on a stone. What does this mean? This has already been described much earlier in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, how Raghunath Das, after the departure of this world of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, lived in Vrindavan. It's described in the Adi Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that Raghunath Das Goswami gradually gave up all food and drink and water, Anna Jal Tyag. But he would just take a few drops. It says here, dui tin mata karen bakon. Just two or three drops of buttermilk. That would be his food and drink for a day. As a daily duty, he regularly offered obeisances to the Lord. How many times? 1,000 times. Chanted at least 100,000 holy names. 64 rounds, and offered obeisances to Vaishnavas, 2,000 Vaishnavas. Or he offered 2,000 obeisances to Vaishnavas. Day and night he rendered service within his mind to Radha Krishna, and for 3 hours a day he discoursed about the character of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he was living in Vrindavan, and Rupa and Sanatan and Bhugarabha and Lokanath even before them, and other Vaishnavas, they were in Vrindavan. They hadn't seen the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das had lived for many years when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, and Raghunath Das's memories of that are one of the two major sources of the Sri Chaitanya, the pastimes described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Raghunath Das and Sarup Damodar Goswami. So he would speak about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 3 hours a day. He took three baths daily in Radha Kund. As soon as he found a Vaishnav residing in Vrindavan, he would embrace him and give him all respect. He engaged himself in devotional service for more than 22 and a half hours a day, and for less than 2 hours he slept, although on some days that also was not possible. I am struck with wonder when I hear about the devotional service he executed. I, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami states, accept Srila Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami as my guides. So when it said that his devotional, his regulative principles were like lines on a stone, that means he did all these activities, chanting, offering obeisances, discoursing on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bathing in Radha Kund, embracing Vaishnavas, all these activities. These were his rules that he had set for himself. Sanatana Goswami, he would do daily parikrama of Sri Govardhan. And the big parikrama, that means on the present parikrama path is about 14 kilometers, but he would go wider and do about 22 kilometers. So the different Goswamis had various rules that they set for themselves. And like lines on a stone, Srila Prabhupada here says, they cannot be erased. You can't erase a line on a stone unless you file it down or break this. You can't also bend it. It's fixed. So this is the example given for us that how strictly we should observe all the rules. Haridas Thakur also is here in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is described. He had a rule which he followed, 3 lakhs of names every day. That's 3 times 64 rounds. And you know when a prostitute was sent to tempt him at night, he said, all right, but I have to finish my rounds first. I can't do anything before I finish my rounds. So he just finished his rounds when the morning was finishing, when the night was finishing. So this went on for 3 nights. And he said, well, I'm sorry, what can I do? Whatever you want me to do, I can do, but first I have to finish my rounds. And after 3 nights of hearing him chanting, her mind was changed. So when Haridas Thakur was very old, and Govinda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principal personal servant, he had more than one, he would bring Mahaprasad of Jagannath to Haridas Thakur, because Haridas Thakur, by social convention, he wasn't allowed in the temple of Jagannath. So Jagannath used to come to see him every day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged for prasad of Jagannath to be brought to him. One day, Govinda found him lying down. He appeared to be quite sick. And he said, the prasad was there. But he said, I can't take it. I'm not chanting my rounds. So how can I take prasad? When prasad is common, how can I deny it? So he just took a little morsel. Then the next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with all his associates and said, what's wrong, Haridas? What's your sickness? He says, well, my real sickness is that I can't chant my rounds. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, well, you're old now, you've done so strictly chanting throughout your whole life, so now you can relax. But Haridas wasn't very satisfied that even though he was sick, of course, he's a great pure devotee, we say that he's enacting the pastime of sickness, or they're not ordinary human beings. We should never think of the great Vaishnavas as ordinary human beings. So Haridas then, he said, you please fulfill my desire, I want to leave this world before you. Then it was a pastime of sickness. But the point is, he was, even though he was sick and old, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally told him, you can relax now, you don't have to chant so much, but he wasn't happy about that. So we get the example from this, how strict we should be in our devotional practices. Now, just a few days ago, I was speaking about how devotional service or love of Krishna, that's the goal of devotional service, is to attain the stage of pure love of Krishna, that there's no cause for that other than Krishna's mercy. And that mercy often comes through his devotees. So it's not even by sadhana that we can necessarily get Krishna's mercy. So we may think then that, oh, well, there's no need of doing sadhana, I'll just get Krishna's mercy. We heard you get it from book distribution. I'll do book distribution, I won't do sadhana. But that's not the example set by Raghunath Das, who had such a strict sadhana, it took up almost every moment of the 24 hours. And he didn't like to eat. He thought it's a waste of time. He didn't like to sleep. He's too busy. What was he doing? He was performing devotional service. He didn't have to chant so much. He didn't. No one else, we don't find any other record of anyone else offering so many obeisances. But he took it upon himself to do so. Now, we do so for the sake of purification, and great devotees like Raghunath, they may think in their transcendentally humble minds that they're doing it for the sake of purification, but the fact is they're just very much attached to hearing about and serving Krishna, hearing about and chanting his holy names and serving him in various ways. So the sadhana is required, that's given, and that will invoke the mercy of Krishna. And that has the positive effect of, if we perform it properly, that will help to awaken our feelings for Krishna. And then we'll want to pray more for the mercy of Krishna. The mercy of Krishna is causeless, may come to someone who has no desire for it. Nalakuvara and Manigriva are examples. Jagai, Madhai, they're also examples. But we shouldn't hope for or expect or follow the path of being demoniac like Jagai and Madhai, or dissolute like Nalakuvara and Manigriva, but rather we should follow the path of sadhana in such a way that we are praying always for the mercy. Prarthana karaye shada narotamadas. He finishes two songs with this one line, that I'm always praying. Narottam Das is always praying for the mercy. So we should follow principles very strictly. We can't imitate Raghunath Das. If we even tried, we wouldn't be able to do so. See how long we could go on two or three drops of buttermilk a day, and what to speak of all the practices he was following 24 hours was practically full of Krishna consciousness activity. So we can't imitate, but we should follow in the footsteps. That means that what we've been given to do, we should do it very carefully, very strictly. One word is used in this section, Tinba Radha Kunde Opotito Shnan. Tin Shanda Radha Kunde Opotito Shnan. Opotito means, that means, yeah, and the three times of the day, morning, noon, and evening, the three junctures of the day, he would take baths in Radha Kund. Opotito could mean without getting into the water. Means not going down. Srila Prabhupada has translated it here. He hasn't particularly translated this word in the translation, but in the word for word, he is given without failure. It means he didn't fall down from his vow of doing so. Patan means fall, patita means fallen, apatita means not going down or not falling. So all of his rules were like that. He wouldn't fall down from them. He followed them very strictly. So that should be the ideal that we follow. If we can't chant 64 rounds for whatever reason, then we should at least follow the 16 rounds. We should rise early, go to Mangal Arati, read the books, engage in service, all these different activities we should do. Now, it may be for some reason that some days we don't do it. It may be due to sickness. If we become very sick with a high fever or whatever, then we can't chant. Or it may be something happens, the child of somehow gets suddenly very sick and you have to rush the child to hospital or whatever. And it was unexpected and your time is the whole day goes or whatever and you don't get to chant. Or you're in some accident or whatever. That happens sometimes at festival times. Devotees are very busy preparing for and then doing all the activities, the services during various festivals. And it may be that they're so busy that they don't chant. Maybe for one or two days even. This Shyamasundar Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, the first, there were three with that name. One of them lives in Bangalore now. The first one, San Francisco, 1967, he physically, personally, did all the interior design and the modeling for the temple of Sri Sri Radha Landanishwara in London. He physically did it, breaking out the roof, making a new roof, getting all the materials, and he was working hard literally day and night. And for several days and nights before the date when the deity installation was to take place, he didn't sleep. And guess what? He missed the installation, what he'd been working for so hard, because he just collapsed. So Prabhupada had a plaque put on the outside of the temple with his name, giving this temple was made with the great hard work of whatever, something like that. So, I don't know if he was chanting his rounds during that time. There is one case of a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Vibhu Chaitanya, was from Bengal. He came to live in Vrindavan as a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. No one knew anything about his previous life because he never spoke. And anyway, he never spoke about it. And anyway, most of the devotees at that time were Westerners, and he only spoke Bengali. Probably after some time he picked up some Hindi also, but we don't know what his antecedents were, where he came from, how he ended up there. But Srila Prabhupada had him in the kitchen cooking for Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyamasundara, Gauranitai. And he was in the kitchen almost all the day and much of the night also. He would just go on cooking and cooking and cooking and cleaning and everything. And he did so, singing the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very sweetly as he did so. Although usually we say in the kitchen, you should keep your mouth closed as much as possible. But he was chanting Hare Krishna. Keep your mouth closed means that so no saliva comes out. And you'll see in Puri, and not only in Puri, many places, the cooks, they have a covering over their mouth so that no spittle comes in the food. So he was chanting like this, and one devotee pointed out to Srila Prabhupada, he doesn't chant rounds. He's in the kitchen all day, and he's busy, and when does he chant his rounds? Prabhupada said, for him it doesn't matter. His cooking, his service, his chanting. As is sometimes pointed out, we never find in the Krishna's pastimes that the gopis, they would get up in the morning and chant their rounds. We don't find that Arjuna on the battlefield, in the middle of the battle, he says, "All right, look, I've got a couple of rounds I still have to chant, so I'll just take a break for 15 minutes." No, sir, he wasn't chanting any. But, well, then later the gopis come as Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami and chant rounds. So it's as chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So that was a special case in the case of Vibhu Chaitanya. That wasn't allowed for everyone. In another case, Srila Prabhupada came to the temple in San Francisco, I believe it was, and Prabhupada sensed something is not right here. So he asked the devotees, one by one, they were saying, "Do you chant 16 rounds? You chant 16 rounds every day?" And one said, "Well, I try to." Another one said that, no. And the devotees weren't chanting, and Prabhupada became very concerned and upset. What they didn't say was that the temple leaders had told them, "You don't have to chant as long as you're doing service all the time." So Prabhupada allowed it in that one case that we know of, but not as a general case. If you see Srila Prabhupada's letters again and again and again, he writes, mostly he's writing to his leaders, but even to others, he'll always say, you must chant 16 rounds every day, follow the principles, rise early, go on Sankirtan, all this. He always emphasized this. And to the leaders, you have to see that all the devotees are doing this. Then, in one place in his purports, here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that the most important order of the spiritual master is to chant rounds every day. So that's one thing which we should follow very strictly. But sometimes we, for various reasons, we may not be able to do. Sometimes we may, it can happen that you chant, say, 14 rounds in the morning before Guru Puja, and you think, "I'll chant the two rounds later," and then you forget. Someone wrote to me recently, they forgot. Oh, and the next morning, "Oh, I forgot." So what do you do in such a case? Well, Srila Prabhupada said that you should make it up the next day, but don't make a habit of it. It may be also, that's what you could call a lapse in chanting or serving. But there's also a relapse, which means someone They just stop chanting and get into Maya. That's also, for some, they may go away for a few days or weeks or months or years, maybe even lifetimes. We didn't see the ones, some left and we hadn't seen them yet. They didn't come back yet. So that's called a relapse. You relapse into Maya. So what do you do? I didn't chant for the last 17 years, so you got to make it up the next day. Or the next lifetime, or what do you do? How do you make up for lapses? Well, really, there's no making up for it. Once one's taken the vow to follow devotional principles, one should follow that. Chanting and serving in various ways means we're attempting to make up or make recompense for millions and uncountable lifetimes of forgetting Krishna. Yeah, it happens. Devotees go away. We should pray always to stay in the association of devotees, and because Maya is very strong, and Maya can just blow us away unless we hold on very tightly to the lotus feet of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas. We have no strength, but if we just hold on, then we can be saved. Otherwise, we're in a very, very dangerous position. Now, we may think, sometimes it happens, we hear some leading devotees, they relapse. They go away from devotional service. We may become discouraged that if such a big devotee goes away, then what to speak? I'm just a small struggler. Then what is the hope for me? In this regard, Srila Prabhupada sometimes quoted from the poet Tulsidas, who gave the example that in the raging current of a river, a big elephant may be carried away. A big, powerful elephant may be carried away. But the fish in the water, little fish, swims against the current. How is that possible? Obviously, the elephant has got more muscle and more power, physical power, than the fish. And Tulsidas says, because the fish has taken shelter of the water, therefore the fish can move very nicely within the water. So in the same way, someone may be very big, but if they rely on their own power, they'll be swept away by the waves. Whereas someone may not be very big, but if they take shelter of Krishna, then we can move within this material world and not be affected. But we always have to take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, we'll be washed away. We'll have no hope. So, what if we're not able to chant, or don't for some reason or other chant on one day, or our Hare Krishna mantra, the quota that we're given, or the Diksha mantras, Gayatri and other mantras that we're given to chant, or home deity worship, that should be done every day. Just like your child is there, you may say, oh, I can't do the worship today. You can say to the child, I can't feed you today. Or you have a cow, I can't milk you, I'm too busy, I can't milk you. I have to go somewhere, so I won't milk you for 2 or 3 days or feed you. You can't do that. It's gross neglect. If you do it in the case of a child, you're liable to be punished by law. And generally no one thinks of that either, that I can't feed my child today, I'm too busy. So if you say, oh, I'm too busy to serve my deity, well, the deity is Krishna has come. You have accepted to take the role of the maintainer of Krishna. So you have to do daily bathing, dressing, feeding, looking after in all respects. So there shouldn't be any lapse. It's an offense. There's seva aparads. By worshipping the deity, we can make advancement. But if we make offenses, then we go backwards. So, kshurasya dhara nishita durataya durgang patas tat kavayo vadanti. The path of devotional service is like shaving with a razor. Shaving with a razor, it's not such an easy path, we're told by the great authorities. Because if we shave very carefully, then we'll get the effect of having the hairs removed. But if you're not careful, then the sharp blade will cut us and maybe even kill us. So anyway, once it's done, it's done. What do we do? First thing, we should take the example of Raghunath Das and not lapse. We're better to have that vow. Before sleeping at night, I must chant my 16 rounds. If some devotees, they take the vow before eating anything in the day, I should chant 16 rounds, minimum, because that's what we're given to chant. So that's one way, because most of us are, I don't know, we can all speak for ourselves. We are more attached to eating than chanting. It may not be in every case, but we take it as normal and natural that we'll eat every day, but we should take it as more normal and natural that we chant every day. So these vows that we've taken, they're supposed to be vows for life. We shouldn't try to think of ways to avoid them. Remember, Raghunath Das Goswami, his devotional principles are like lines on a stone. We should have that fixity that I must do. It may be for some reason or other, just like your child is hungry and crying and you can't say, well, just lock up the child and I've finished my rounds, then I'll feed the child. You may say, I won't eat until I finish 16 rounds, but you can't do it for your children. Especially often the mothers with young children, they have difficulty chanting 16 rounds because children, they don't have any regulated principles. They don't have any, okay, fixed time I have to eat, fixed time I have to sleep. And the child is constantly demanding. You've seen in the TV or whatever, they have these, when the mother comes to the nest, the bird, with the worm or whatever, then you'll see all the chicks in the nest with their mouths wide open and making a noise. I used to see in my childhood, I guess nowadays people see it on YouTube. But you see how demanding they are. Everyone is all there, maybe five or six chicks, and they're all ah, rah, rah, pushing their mouth up and making a noise because they want. They don't think mother is working so hard, going out and finding. They only demand. They take it as their right. They don't have any philosophy that it's my right as a chick to demand. So children are like that, and you have to look after them. And it may be very difficult for mothers with young children to finish chanting 16 rounds, which is why previously in Bengal, many women who were Vaishnavis, They deliberately didn't take initiation until they'd finished bearing children and their children were old enough that they didn't have to look after them 24 hours, so that they could follow what they're given by their guru to do, because they knew it was... And of course, previously, it would be that they would have one, then another, and go on. As long as they're fertile, they'd go on having children. So it was a normal thing. But you know, Thakur had 13 children. And that was quite normal previously. Probably all of your grandparents had at least 6, 7, 8 children. It was a normal thing. Now, contraception and abortion have changed the society. So, it may be that for whatever reason you're not able to do. So, in such a case, in such cases, the Vaishnav directions, this Smriti Shastra of Hari Bhakti Vilas and the various acharyas, like our own acharya, Srila Prabhupada said, if you don't chant 16 rounds, then make it up the next day. So there is a way to make up, you could say. But having heard that, one shouldn't think that, well, okay, I don't feel like it today. Maybe tomorrow I'll be in a better mood. I'll do it tomorrow. Well, that's why we have the rule to do it. Because unless one takes a vow, 16 rounds, Mangalarti, all these things, unless one takes a vow, then we're on the mental platform. I can do it or not do it, as I feel like. And a lot of the time we won't feel like it. One day you may be very inspired and chant 30 rounds. Next day, oh, I don't feel like it today. And anyway, yesterday I chanted 30 rounds, so I'll just chant 2 rounds today and that'll make 32, that's enough. You can chant, if for some reason you don't fulfill your quota, you can chant extra the next day, but you can't chant extra in advance, that doesn't count. I'll take a bath at night and then when I don't get up, when I get up in the morning, it'll save time. Then I can get up a little later because I took bath at night. And then I don't have to take bath in the morning. Like Jad Bharat, it's described, he would... what was that? He would take bath and then pasto. He'd do it round the wrong way, deliberately. Because he wanted to be known as a fool so that people... so that the real fools wouldn't bother him and he could just think of Krishna. But that's exceptional also. So if we think, I won't bother, I'll do it tomorrow. Then, it's not exactly the same as committing a sin, but it's the same kind of mentality that, yeah, I can get away with it. That offense against the holy name, I can sinning on the strength of the holy name. It's the same kind of mentality. I can get away with it, so I'll make up for it later. I'll do some sin. I'll murder 25 people, or something more mild. We don't have to use such an extreme example. And then I'll chant Hare Krishna. You get taken to court. You murdered 25 people. Yeah, but I chanted Hare Krishna afterwards, so I'm free from sin. Go and read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Buy a Bhagavatam set. Read the Bhagavatam. See, I'm free from sin. So that mentality, I don't have to follow, I'll do it later. That's the wrong mentality. Rather, just like you wouldn't leave a child uncared for, unbathed, unfed. So one shouldn't leave one's bhakti lata, creeper of devotional service, which requires constant attention. One shouldn't leave it just, okay, I'll do it later. So, for whatever reason, if it does happen, then the rule given in Shastra is that one should do more later. So, for instance, if you miss two rounds, then the next day you have to do four rounds extra. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's stated, this is talking about worshipping the deity. Ekahapyu javihiptau kuryava kuryad dvigunam archanam triratre tu mahapujang samprokshanam atah param masad urdvam anekaham puja yad ivi hanyate patishthaiveshyate kaish chit kaish chit samprokshana kramaha. If the worship has not been done for one day, one ought to do the, if you miss the doing the puja, because for deity you have to do puja daily. If you miss one day, at least once a day you have to do. So if you miss once in a day, then you have to do it twice on the next day. If for 3 days one hasn't done, then one has to do Mahapuja, very opulent and elaborate puja. And also one should do a special Abhishek for the deity. This is talking about home worship. In the temple there should be absolutely no question of missing a day's worship. It did happen actually once in London when Jayatirtha ran away with all his disciples. Then Radha, Gokula, Ananda weren't worshipped for 1 day. Something the deities installed by Srila Prabhupada. Now, if the worship has been neglected for 1 month, there should be no question of this. But still, the Hari Bhakti Vilas gives direction. Some say that the deity should be reinstalled, where others say there should be, again, the very opulent puja and bathing and everything. So, the idea is that we're supposed to do these activities. It's not just some duty we have to do, but it should be done with, there should be some feeling there. Otherwise, what are we doing in devotional service? One should, just like if one is not able to attend to one's child for some reason, one should feel very, well, naturally, the parent will feel very bad about that. Sometimes not possible to do everything, like Yashoda, even she's the mother of God Himself. But she was feeding him one time, you all know very well, and then she thought, oh, the pot of milk is boiling over. The pot of milk's also being boiled for Krishna. So she put Krishna down and attended to the boiling milk. You can't do both things. Somehow her servants weren't there or whatever. So Krishna was very upset. Mother Yashoda didn't want to put Krishna down and make him upset, but in that circumstance, she had no choice. She just thought, I'll put him down and then come back again. In the meantime, you know very well what happened. That's Damodar Leela. So that is done with feeling that I have to do, and worshipping, that not just some duty that I have to do. If I don't do this duty, then I won't get, they'll throw me out of the temple, I'll have to go and do some job. So better I'll do worship in the temple and it's nice and comfortable. They may think like that. That's one profession, being a professional priest in a temple. And we find even in ISKCON that someone's doing pujari service in a temple, getting some stipend, as it's called, some small pay. And then someone else from some other temple says, hey, I'll give you some more. I'll give you more money. And they leave one temple and go to the other because they get more money. And they say, well, I've got a family to feed and this and that. But the money becomes the doing it for the money, not for the love, it seems. There may be some love also, but the money is the main consideration. So Srila Prabhupada said the pujari should never be paid. Also, it's a well-known phenomenon all over India that any money given in cash to the deity is given to the pujari to offer to the deity. But it goes to the pujari. That's, in ISKCON we'd call that stealing. Because it's everything's spoiled. But I myself don't mind in temples which are under the government, because I'd rather it goes to the pujari than goes to the government. They take all the money and then they use it for making fish farms and goes in the minister's pocket or whatever. Anyway, that's another discussion altogether. So, if there is a relapse or a lapse and then we make it up, it should be in a spirit of sorrow, apology. Although in devotional service, if we fall down from some standard and we come back, there's no need for prayaschitta per se. There's no need for, just as in sinful activities, if one does, to get freed from the effect of sinful activities, one has to perform some act of atonement. But in devotional service, there's no act of atonement. If we had to atone for our going away for devotional service, well, how long has it been? Millions and millions of lifetimes. So, well, having taken it up seriously, we may go away for some time, but the real atonement is the sorrow and the begging again for Krishna's mercy. Not that we just take it, oh, well, I was away, now I'll come back and take it very lightly. Then we won't get Krishna's mercy. The sadhana is to invoke Krishna's mercy, but if we take it very cheaply, then Krishna also won't take us very seriously. So the idea that, well, you have, if you miss, then you do more. You miss 5 rounds, the next day you have to do 10 rounds, something like that. When I was first in the temple in 1975, I was there in just outside London. We have the Radha Gokulananda's temple. And I was there, I joined, and there was hardly anyone there most of the time in the Brahmachari Ashram. They were all out on traveling Sankirtan. I was too, after a few days in the temple. And one devotee was there, and Brahmachari. I saw he was chanting all day rounds. I asked, how come it takes you so long to chant your rounds? He said, I'm chanting extra. He said, I was sick for so many days. Now I'm making up the rounds. That was Kripa Amoy. I don't think he's very well known here, but in England and in Europe, he's a very well-known devotee. He's been living in or close to Bhaktivedanta Manor since that time and is a prominent spiritual leader there. So, double, you can chant. What if you chant, if you have a vow to chant 2 times 64 rounds a day? Well, anyway, someone who has such a vow, they wouldn't miss anyway. If you have such a solid vow, we don't have so many devotees in ISKCON, hardly any doing that. But they have such a, someone who's vowed like that, they'll do it. Actually, we should have also those who are retired, old, who are not able to do much physical service, can chant more. At least someone. If we're so busy during our life, then in old age, if we can sit and chant, just chant, chant, chant. I used to see in Bengal, traveling around, we used to see people that go in some village, not even a particular holy place, see old people. They're just sitting and they just chant all day, chanting mala. Just go on all day. You see them in the morning, you see them at midday, you see them. They're just chanting. I've seen several times. They don't make a big thing of it. They don't. They just go on chanting. They don't. So that culture was there. What else are you going to do in old age? You can hardly, can't walk. What is that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Briddha Kala Ailo Shabshukna. That's another one. Pancharoge Hata. Kemane Bhajibha Bolo. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, now in old age I'm afflicted by five kinds of disease. How can I worship you properly? He's praying to Krishna. Tell me, how am I going to do it? So, if we're old and we're weak, but at least if we can chant and go on chanting. If we have actually spent a lifetime in service, then we should be able to get the good result in old age that we get a taste for chanting the holy names. So best don't neglect whatever rules are there. Remember Raghunath Das. Pray for the mercy of Raghunath Das. Pray for the mercy of Haridas Thakur, that we can be strict in our practices. We have so many services to do. Those we should do also. But stick to our chanting, if we're worshipping deities, which is why you may have noticed, quite one of the reasons why I'm quite circumspect or cautious about recommending devotees to worship deities, because if you do it, you really have to do it properly. You just can't leave them to become dusty in the corner. It means to worship them very properly. But we have so much services here in the temple also to serve the deities by building their building their new temple and distributing their books and so many things. So, Hare Krishna, is there any question about this place? Yeah. Yeah, we have to hear and read Prabhupada's books. That will give us enthusiasm to go on chanting, yeah? Yeah, unless there's a balanced diet of hearing as well as chanting, then the chanting also becomes weak. Just like we understand from nutritional experts, dietitians, that if you eat only rice in a meal, or only dal, you don't get as much benefit as if you eat the rice and the dal together, because combined, they react in the stomach or whatever to nourish the body in a certain way. So you need both of them, rice and dal. If you take the rice without the dal, you don't get the full benefit from the rice. If you take dal without rice, of course you could take dal with chapatis, but you don't get the full benefit. It has to be a well-balanced diet. So, as in most of India, rice and dal are the main components of the meal, and there may be other items also. So, in the same way, in our devotional activities, hearing and chanting are the main components. And there are others also. But Shravan Kirtan Jale Koreyesha Chesham. That's said about the Bhakti Lata, Bij. Mali Hoya Shei Bij. First of all, you get the Bij, the seed of devotional service, from Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One gets the seed of the creeper of devotional service from Guru and Krishna, and then what do? You get the seed, okay, you got the seed, then what do you do? Nali hoya shei bij kare oropan. You become a garden and you plant the seed. Shravan kirtan jale kare eshechan. And then one has to sprinkle the water. It's all allegorical. One has to sprinkle the water of hearing and chanting upon that. So hearing and chanting means all the others also. Yadrichaya mat kata dau, that Krishna says. It's somehow or other. Jata shraddha saya puman. If somehow or other one's faith in Krishna kata dau, hearing about Krishna, means and the other activities also, then nanirvino nati sakto bhakti yogasya siddhida. If somehow or other one gets attraction for hearing about Krishna kata and all the other activities, but hearing comes first, then without being disappointed and without being attached to this material world, without being overly, one has to be not overly attached to this material world. If one has faith in this, somehow or other one has one faith, then bhakti yogasya siddhida, then one's practice of bhakti will give perfection, siddhi. Perfection in devotional service. Okay, Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who has given this wonderful treasure of devotional service to us and is going on giving it and giving it and giving it. We have to take it. Hare Krishna.